Your On the Mark podcast is loading now. The On the Mark podcast is sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, family-owned dealership since 1915, 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia on Routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome on board the WKOK live telephone talk show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence, subpar host of the show. Mr. Joe McGranahan is the superlative co-host across from me. He is the head of the State Mayor's Association.
No, I'm not. I'm a member of the executive board. And there we go. My microphone's off again.
What did you say?
I said I'm not the head. I'm the on the executive board.
All right. He's the head of Shamokin Dam Borough Council.
No.
The council president does that, right. You're the mayor.
That I am.
You're the head of the State Bar Association.
Will you stop making this stuff up? I'm also governor of Pennsylvania, because I saw him yesterday, so I guess that must make me him.
Why don't you run for public office? You're killing people. You sit there and criticize people, but you won't run for public office.
What are you talking about?
I'm sorry. Forget it. I mean higher office.
Well, we had Governor Wolf with us yesterday at the State Boroughs Conference, and he's an excellent speaker, very personable, warm kind of guy, and he was talking about, although I saw this morning the big news, and we'll probably get to it at some point, was his proposal is resurfacing again to charge municipalities for state police protection. But yesterday he talked about his plan to revitalize the state.
You mean with the natural gas tax? Mm-hmm. What do they call it? Revitalize PA?
Revitalize PA. He talked a lot about that, urged us to contact our representatives and get them to support it. He says he has like 25 bill co-sponsors in the Senate and about 100 and some in the House. Looks like it has a good chance to pass in a bipartisan way.
Okay.
But I think there's some people who are going to resist that severance tax. Is that what it's called?
It's an extraction. It's a real severance tax, yeah, instead of the impact tax.
Well, he doesn't want to get rid of that. So we're going to be adding even more taxes. I think he talked about $650 million he's proposing to raise through the gas tax.
Well, and his secretary at DCNR was at the Shikellamy State Park Marina saying the marina renovations could be part of that.
A lot of things could be part of it. I mean, he's gone all around the state talking about what could be part of it.
What do you say? He has the money spent three times over.
Yeah. Well, it's funny, though, because he said, you know, nothing you hate more than from Harrisburg than an unfunded mandate. He said, well, this will be a funded suggestion.
Okay, to accept this money in your area.
Right.
All right, so we're going to, I'd like to explore a little bit more about that, the governor's remarks. The severance tax probably not going to come up beyond this brief conversation, but Governor Wolf is advocating for passage of legislation that would use individuals in small municipalities, townships, and so on who use state police coverage to pay for their own policing rather than have state police do it for free. I can't even describe it right. So that's what we'll have to argue about on our show. On the Mark, sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company. Check them out at sunburymotors.com. Our toll-free line is open. Call us 1-800-795-9565. Do you want to start out with the state police? That sound okay?
We're halfway in it now.
Yeah.
Actually, the story this morning was by Jan Murphy in Penn Live. He wrote a very complete story about this.
Jan's a man?
I don't know.
1-800.
Could be either one with a name like that.
Yeah, I do not know that.
I've known male Jans and female Jans.
Me too. I know male and female Lynns, male and female Carols.
Yes, a lot of names go either way, so you can't always be sure, right?
Right. Anyway, 1-800-795-9565 is the telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. If you're a Text Connect member, just reply to a previous message. If you haven't signed up for Text Connect, we send you breaking text messages no more than a dozen times a month. It's breaking national or local news, closed roads, tornadic weather, dead celebrities, or opportunities for us to keep you informed about something you do need to know, period.
It was interesting yesterday because at the mayors of group, there's a mayor's group of boroughs of Pennsylvania. It's called the Association of the Mayors of the Boroughs of Pennsylvania. Well, that's a separate and distinct group from the State Mayors Association, which I'm on the board of. But the group of the mayors there, one of them got up, a lady mayor from, I think, Western Pennsylvania, who talked about, and we got started by talking about regional police departments and the problems they're having. And I mentioned that yesterday's paper, and I'm sure you had it on the air here too, although I didn't hear the news yesterday morning on the radio, about Lewisburg filing suit against East Buffalo Township. And quite frankly, some of the stories I heard, you know, everybody talks about regionalizing police departments, how much sense it makes, but some of the mayors there had some pretty horrible stories about these jointures gone wrong. One mayor talked about his municipality decided to get out of it because it was just ongoing hassles. It cost them $400,000 to get out. Another female,
they had to buy their way out.
They had to buy their way out of the agreement. Another mayor talked about the fact that she pulled out of the group and then went back to relying on the state police for protection, which leads us into our next story. And she's apparently at an area where there's a confluence of three state police barracks somewhere in the area. And she says she gets excellent coverage from them and that they come to the council meetings, which surprises me. I've never seen a state police person come to a municipal meeting.
I've never seen a state trooper at any municipal meeting.
No, no. And she said they come, they'll lead off their parade in town and do things like that. She made it sound, you know, like they're getting wonderful coverage, and she's more than satisfied with it, even though apparently some of the people in her town have raised Cain about disbanding the local police department.
I have seen state police at the front of parades in municipalities.
So they have a mounted unit that leads off a lot of parades. I used to lead them off in Harrisburg when I was a kid growing up.
Okay.
I remember seeing the state police and their nice horses. And then, of course, my high school band marched right behind them, and we spent the entire parade dodging articles left in the street by the horses.
Okay.
I always remember our band director saying, "We're not marching behind those horses."
Guess what?
We marched behind those horses, wearing white shoes, by the way.
Why didn't they have a cleanup crew follow the horses?
I think in later parades they did.
Okay.
In any event, but the governor now, and this is Jan Murphy's story from Penn Live today, Governor Tom Wolf is renewing his call for the municipalities that fully rely on state police protection to begin chipping in toward the cost of that service. Their failure to do so comes at the expense of being able to fix roads and bridges, but beyond that, he said, it's just unfair to taxpayers and communities that have their own police force. Their neighbors that rely on state police are enjoying lower taxes than folks in those municipalities because they refuse to start or even disband their local police department, Wolf said at a Capitol News conference on Tuesday. We should not be sacrificing the infrastructure, the roads and bridges that every single Pennsylvanian uses to cater to municipalities that simply don't want to pay for their own police force. Now, under the governor's proposal, Wolf said, and some Democratic lawmakers are calling for those municipalities that now number 1,299 and include several in South Central Pennsylvania to begin paying a fee. Their proposal would not affect the 414 communities that rely on state police for part-time coverage. You know, they have their own police department. But,
sometimes.
Right. It takes five full-time officers to provide 24-hour-a-day, seven-day-a-week coverage, but that's only if nobody ever takes any time off.
So at some point, court dates,
or has court dates or training or anything else. A bill introduced by Representative Mike Sterla, Democrat of Lancaster County, mirrors the plan Wolf offered in his February budget address. It would impose a sliding scale in which municipalities with fewer than 2,000 residents would pay $8 per person and rise to $166 per person for communities with more than 20,000 residents. Senate Democratic leader Jay Costa of Allegheny County is proposing a similar bill in his chamber. Sterla said their proposal would generate about $100 million, but cost the municipalities far less than the $234 per person fee it's estimated as the actual cost of full-time state police protection. Again, this is Jan Murphy's story from Penn Live this morning.
Well, people are already paying for the state police, right? So what happens is an urban area or even a township, scratch the shape of the municipality, is that a community can also opt to have their own paid professional or paid force also. But I think people are already paying for the state police.
Well, the state police are on standby for all of us.
Right, you know, everybody, period. They got a criminal investigation unit and so on.
Right. I don't think it's entirely fair to go after the communities that don't have a police force of their own, although I can agree with the governor's the logic behind what the governor's proposing. But it's like an ambulance, you know. Do you join the ambulance league? Well, we do, because it's on standby for us, you know, but it's on standby for other people who don't belong to that. They just pay a different fee. So it's not unreasonable to suggest that people who rely on state police protection in their municipalities, who could have their own police departments but choose not to, that they should pay something for that.
Why not take it out of the general fund?
Well, I mean, we've talked in this program before about PennDOT having to pay a large part of the state police budget, which isn't fair. I mean, the governor's absolutely correct.
Yeah, that's broken. That's obvious.
Right. I mean, it's terribly broken. So, I mean, I think that the governor has something, you know, he has a very valid point here. Why should we have the state police taking money that could repair bridges and roads and other parts of our infrastructure and giving some municipalities a free ride?
Well, everybody agrees with that. We can stipulate that that part's a good idea. But this idea of having municipalities pay individually, I don't like that.
Why?
Well, then, in fact, they're going to be paying twice, correct?
And how?
Well, you pay your gas tax to PennDOT or your fees or whatever you're paying to PennDOT that you pay one time to then, plus some state general fund money does go to the state police?
Yes, well,
okay,
quite a bit of it.
All right, so you're paying PennDOT for this or that or gas tax, and you're paying your state income tax in a timely fashion, so you're funding state police in that regard. Now they say, now that you actually have the state police, you've funded them, now we're going to charge you if you use them.
Well, now, I did say to you that I believe they are on standby for everybody, and to that extent, those municipalities should not have to pay for the same standby that everybody gets from the state police.
Mm-hmm.
But specifically, when you have no police protection of your own, and you could have, I would think you would agree with me that those communities tend to draw upon the state police resources to a larger extent than communities that
Absolutely.
Have their own police department.
And
should they not pay more? In other words, over and above the standby fee that we all accept for the state police.
Because we've paid various taxes.
Right. We paid various taxes. Should those municipalities that rely exclusively on state police for police protection not pay something extra? And I say they should.
What about a post-user fee? Call the cops, pay a bill. The municipality, not the individuals.
Well, there are other options,
and that's the way
too.
Ambulances work now.
Right, and that would work. And I think another thing that would work, even though I question the viability of these regional police departments, considering the lack of success they've had, rather spectacular lack of success they've had in some places, instead of doing that, why not contract for police services? A number of the mayors who were there yesterday said their boroughs contract state police resources. But even there, I mean, one of the mayors told a story, under the state law in Pennsylvania, the mayor has to be an active participant in the police department. In most boroughs, in all boroughs, the mayor, if they have a police department, is in charge of it. In other instances where there are, you know, several municipalities banded together to form a regional police department, the mayor is supposed to be an active, says it may be an active participant. This one mayor cited the course where a place, and I don't know where it was in Pennsylvania, that three boroughs had banded together to form a police department, and his council is all of another party, political party. And instead of making him the only mayor who is not a member of the active administration of the department, they made him an alternate. So the other two municipalities sent their mayors and are complying with the law, the spirit of the law, which obviously indicates the mayor should be involved in it. And this municipality, because they didn't like his politics, they cut him out.
Okay.
Made him an alternate. So, I mean, there's a lot of problems here, but the state police, by and large, provide excellent coverage to the extent of their ability. You know, I've heard many times.
Well, I don't think what the state police are doing is being called into question at all, is it?
Well, no, but here's the rub with these municipalities. Say, look, if I'm going to start paying for this, I want better coverage.
No, I want more coverage, more and better coverage.
Right,
well,
more and better coverage.
Let's pay for it. Well, and the township leaders in the PennLive, and plus we got the township supervisor's comment to the State Supervisors Association, said that they think the answer is actually for the state police to save money. They say salaries and benefits costs are too high. Part of that comes from a mandate from Harrisburg that benefits have to be at X level, and he doesn't specify that, but he
says... So their suggestion is to make the job less attractive for people.
It's cost saving, yeah.
Well, it makes a job less attractive. Why would you want to take a job where they keep cutting your benefits?
In every organization, entity, business, there's always room for cost saving. That's sound advice for every entity in the whole state, but I don't think that's any way to veto a state police funding measure.
Generalization.
Right. So, I think it's true. Right. But he's not specific. He is specific about how they could save money. And one of those ways is through because pensions are too high and salaries are too high for state police.
And neither of which a rational person
would argue.
And whose opinion?
Well, his.
Well, excuse me. I'm a rational person. I'll argue that with you. I don't think they're too high.
Right. I agree. All right. 1-800. Let's get the public involved. So the possible funding schemes will be all through the general fund. Or the way it is now, or the way the governor is proposing that...
Sliding scale.
Municipalities
with less than 2,000 would pay $8 per person, and up to $166 per person for communities with more than 20,000 residents.
So deep in the heart of Potter County, you would pay $8, but in Loyalsock Township, Lycoming County, which is really a section of Williamsport, they'd be up in that 20 range probably.
I would doubt that there is a borough or a third-class city of more than 20,000, or up to 20,000 people that doesn't have their own police department. I would think all you would find is townships.
Yeah, Loyalsock Township would be one of them. And then neighboring Old Lycoming Township, which is the other municipality that borders Williamsport, they do have their own police department. Old Lycoming, a superlative police department there. Yeah, Williamsport's surrounded by super departments except Loyalsock, which is state police territory. Well, let's get you involved, folks. What do you think? What's the best way to fund state police? I guess would be one way to question it. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. Should we go with all general fund? That's what I like. That's my favorite. Should we go with the governor's idea of having municipalities pay a sliding fee depending upon their size? Should we keep doing it how we're doing it now, stealing some money from PennDOT and using a little of the general fund to fund state police, or some other ideas? There's some other method to do this. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. News Radio 1070 WKOK has an On the Mark program sponsored by the Sunbury Motor Company, a family-owned dealership since 1915. 4th Street, Sunbury, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf. Find out tons more about them at sunburymotors.com. They invite you to visit the Quick Lane on North 4th Street in Sunbury. That's where they specialize in all types of service on vehicles, state inspections. They'll pump you up with nitrogen. They'll get you ready for road trips. Maybe you got another conference coming up for the Mayor's Association. Well, they'll get your vehicle ready for the 120-mile trip to Harrisburg and back. Monday through Friday, they're at the Quick Lane ready to do this and many other services, 6:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. Saturday, 6:30 a.m. to 2 p.m. If your car doesn't look good and it's out of alignment and it's out of tune and needs to be washed, well, you give it to them. They'll give it back to you pumped up with nitrogen, washed, painted, aligned, tuned up, and it looked like a brand new vehicle. They can do that at the Sunbury Motor Company, sunburymotors.com.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the Father of All Sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to $16,000. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
It's the father of all sales going on now.
So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show. On the Mark, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Well, we're talking about state police funding. We have a couple of methods to fund state police being talked about. The governor had a news conference yesterday saying that he'd like to see the general fund. No, he'd like to see townships pay for their township and municipalities who don't have their own police force pay state police for their services. But township supervisors say, well, scratch that. They already pay twice because of this current system. They fund PennDOT and the general fund, so they're already paying for state police. Then if they have to pay a separate fee, that would be over and above. Of course, my good idea is to just use general funds and get it over with. Bite the bullet. If you have to raise an income tax or something to fund the state police, do it.
Well, Governor Wolf's press secretary, J.J. Abbott, said the fee is a necessary alternative and would help yield about $106 million to help fund three new cadet classes to improve public safety. So they're talking about using the money, I gather, to expand the size of the state police, which, of course, in some regards, isn't going to solve the problem.
Right, and they have trouble getting recruits, so that's having three more classes isn't going to help that.
He said the fee represents a fraction of what 10 million Pennsylvanians already pay to support their local and regional police departments and would not be charged to taxpayers. The state may not, this is from the Morning Call in Allentown, I believe, the state may not be charging taxpayers for the fee, but North Whitehall Township Vice Chairman Mark Hills said there would be no way to avoid residents feeling the cost. North Whitehall's population of 16,348 would mean they face a $133 per dollar per capita fee, putting the cost of state police protection there at $2.1 million.
Well, they have 160-some thousand people. Is that what you just said?
Well, I just took that off my phone.
It's gone.
Said 100 and what's the number?
Well, yeah,
here?
I think you said 160,000.
No, they have 13,000
in Whitehall,
North Whitehall Township.
And it would cost them $2 million?
Because they would be paying $133 on the governor's scale, which goes up to $166.
They pay
would be paying $133 a head.
You would develop your own police force pronto if you had to pay that, because you could get your own police force that would be pretty adequate for $1 million or so. I mean, that's the starting fee for, three or four officers. And then if you want five officers, I think the cost is it's usually like $150,000 per officer is a good rule of thumb. So,
right. Well, let's say, take Monroe Township, for example.
Snyder County.
They have a population in the last census of 5,823. And let's say because of that, the low scale is 2,000. Let's say at that number, they'd come in at $3 on the scale. Probably more than that, but let's just say 3, which would take their cost to $17,469. Doesn't seem like an excessive amount.
Considering that you're paying for something you are receiving and utilizing, you see state police in the township all the time.
But look at the
nobody
cost.
Would argue that.
All right, well, let's look at Northumberland or Sealands Grove, which is population is roughly akin to what Monroe Township's is, and Shamokin Dam, whose population is considerably less than Monroe Township. Both those municipalities have police departments. Monroe Township,
you have five officers.
No, we have three full-time officers, and we're permitted to hire two part-time, but we haven't been able to find two part-time at the moment. But for $17,469, Monroe Township couldn't even hire a part-time officer or fund a vehicle.
Right.
I mean, I'd say they'd be getting a pretty good deal out of it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, and I mentioned Loyal Suck, just by way of clarification. They have fewer than 5,000 people in Loyal Suck Township, Lycoming County. Trouble is, two-thirds of them are right adjacent to the city in the suburbs there, and then the other third are spread out all over the township, which is a normal-sized township. So they don't go anywhere near that 10,000 threshold that we talked about.
What I question is whether or not that they should have to pay some part of it, because I think they should, but is the governor's scale fair?
Hmm. Or is it disproportionate? Or is it really socking them big townships?
Well, I mean, how many times? I agree. I've heard a number of township supervisors talk about this issue, and they think it should be based on the number of calls. If they have, you know, anything at all, it should be based on the number of calls for state police protection in their community. Now, the state police aren't going to come in and enforce borough ordinances or township ordinances. They aren't going to make sure the grass gets mowed next door, you know, and that the dog doesn't poop in your lawn.
But so, if you live in the country, who cares?
Well, okay. Some people do. But they aren't going to do that. So, you know, they're saying, well, you know, we don't have any crime in our township. You know, the police never get called here for a domestic dispute. They never get called here for somebody sticking up a grocery store. So why should we pay for something we never use? You know, and if we do need it, why shouldn't the fee we pay be based on the number of times we need it rather than just an arbitrary per capita format?
So McGranahan Township, Potter County, gets no state police calls per year, so they wouldn't have to pay anything.
We're living honest down there. It's like Marktopia. Everybody's clean living. Nobody gets in trouble.
Nobody's drunk.
So the state police are never called in there. There's never drunk and disorderly conduct. There's never kids doing pranks on your lawn. None of that stuff.
Yeah, Marktopia has each one police one. We keep an eye on each other.
But, you know, let's say that the cost was based on the severity of the crime. You know, you have a murder, well, that's, you pay $250,000.
And yeah, that wouldn't work.
Well, yeah, I don't know how you'd come up with something entirely fair. I think the best you could do is try and
hit
the middle of the road.
It's like property taxes to fund a school district. Well, it's somewhat fair, but it's not completely fair. You know, you have some people who own property in the district and never utilize any of the brain power of the school district, and you have a property owner who lives in the district, and that individual is paying a lot to the school district.
Sure.
So but I mean, they're getting the benefit if they have schoolers, but not if they don't.
Look at it this way. Older people whose children are long out of the school system are still paying school taxes, you know, because the schools are on standby for everybody. I mean, if you suddenly have a child, they'll pay.
You're 90 years old. I'm going to adopt a baby. I need the school system right away.
But seriously, it's there and it's available for you, whether you use it or not. Same with the state police.
I'm not sure that we could have picked a topic that our audience would have cared less about. So.
Apparently not. Well, we have other topics.
All right. Well, so much for my speculation.
But it does affect their lives, and that's what we discuss in this program.
Right. No argument there, whether they like it or not. All right. 1-800-795-9565. Suggest a fascinating topic for the next hour. You're listening to WKOK Sunbury.
News Radio 1070 WKOK presents On the Mark. It's a chance to voice your opinion on the events that affect life in the Susquehanna Valley. Call 1-800-795-9565 or email onthemark@wkok.com. Now, here are your hosts for On the Mark, Mark Lawrence and Joe McGranahan.
Greetings and welcome back to the WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show On the Mark. I'm Mark Lawrence. Mr. Joe McGranahan is across from me. We haven't mentioned enough about him, but he's doing a fabulous job. That's his title, Rob Center, fabulous producer. Over in the newsroom, super-duper news director Matt the Cat Catrillo is over there doing a great job, so we appreciate that. And Darian is the great intern assistant that is assisting today, so he's doing a super-duper job, so we appreciate that. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. That's 1-800-795-9565. If you'd like, you can email us at onthemark@wkok.com and text us at 70236. We have one email related to state police funding, but we'll take more comers sent to the onthemark@wkok.com, and you can call us 1-800-795-9565. In the news, multiple first responders, including a life flight, went to a motorcycle accident outside Mifflinburg Tuesday night. Union County's FireWire on Facebook says the accident was first reported around 8:45 p.m. along Route 192 and Wabash Road. Union County Communications said they were unaware of the accident. FireWire reports life flight was called to the scene and was on the ground. Milton State Police and Mifflinburg Hose Company also responded. We are working to gather more details on that. About $35,000 still needed for the new all-inclusive playground in Selinsgrove. It is set to open soon. Fritz Heinemann, president of the Andy Russell Charitable Foundation Central PA chapter, says the project has a goal, $475,000.
We need, as of Friday, probably $30,000-$35,000 left to raise to meet the goal and have this completely paid for, debt-free, and ready to go.
The official ribbon-cutting ceremony is set for next month.
July 18th, we want to cut the ribbon, open it up, and that playground is there. We turn it over to the township, belongs to them. It's available for use.
He says there's many ways you can get involved and help them reach their goal. Larry Johnson of Bowen Realty or Real Estate, Simona Lovick of the DQ Grill and Chill, and John Fisher, retired from Northwestern Mutual Financial Advisor, say for every dollar that's donated now, they'll match that with a $1 donation. You can also sponsor landscaping. As we've been saying here, you can sponsor a couple of two-tree trees for $300 each, and you can sponsor shrubbery. You could call it Your You for $35. We also have a link to the project's GoFundMe page posted at WKOK.com. Legislation was introduced in Harrisburg that would create separate state playoffs for private and public schools in Pennsylvania. Media reports say under House Bill 1600, all schools, public and private, would continue to compete against each other during the regular season and district-level playoffs. After the district playoffs, private schools would compete in one playoff and public schools in another. The champions in each of those playoffs would then face each other in the final championship game. The change would be in effect for football, baseball, softball, basketball, volleyball, and soccer. The plan's been endorsed by both the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference and a group of public school superintendents who have been lobbying for changes to the state PIAA playoff system since last summer. Maybe you have an opinion about that. Do you think that's a good idea? I'm not sure what it would accomplish. You would get the Central Catholics of the world playing each other, then they'd annihilate a private school in the last game. So I'm not sure what you would accomplish.
You mean a public school.
Right, a public school. And then, although you would have the satisfaction of being the best private school, and then, of course, you have to go to the annihilation game at the end. So that's, I don't know if that would be an enjoyable title to have, to be the best private school in, or best public school in the state. Would that be an honor? I guess so.
Possibly.
All right. So anyway, so that's a little bit of a reform being talked about in Harrisburg. But if there's one thing the PIAA is good at, it's being talked about and having nothing done. And finally, former Irish President Mary Robinson says President Donald Trump's poor leadership is aggravating the world's difficulty in uniting to tackle climate change and the threat of nuclear war. Robinson heads a group of prominent former leaders founded by Nelson Mandela, known as the Elders. She said at a news conference yesterday, the current bumpy road period for multilateralism goes beyond Trump, but he certainly has made a negative contribution, partly by his tweeting. Robinson called the U.S. President and his tweeting destabilizing, saying his tweets lead to endless analysis by the media and nothing happens. Really, it's all ridiculous, unquote. And she expressed hope that President Trump's recent participation in events commemorating D-Days, where allies work together, will lead to more understanding of the importance of a multilateral system.
One may hope.
Guess what? I doubt it. Anybody who used the cemetery as the backdrop for him to say harsh things about Nancy Pelosi doesn't get it. So I don't think we're going to see any change there with President Trump. On the topic of state police funding, we did receive one element of audience reaction.
Yes, we did. Dick says, I read today on Penn Live that Harrisburg City Police Captain Gabe Oliveri is retiring from his $88,500 a year job after 25 years and has now been hired as Director of Security at Central Dauphin School District at the salary of $95,000 per year to supervise the school police force. I don't know if he will draw his pension immediately or not. My point, police protection is expensive at all levels. Oh, schools are usually student busy 9 months of the year.
Yeah, he will draw his pension. The FOP makes sure of that.
Well, and he's earned it. My heavens, the guy was there for, 25 years? Mm-hmm. He's earned his pension.
Yeah, $88,000 to be the Harrisburg police chief? Oh, a captain.
No, no.
Oh, a captain.
He is a captain.
That seems like a low salary for a captain at Harrisburg, doesn't it?
It does indeed. I don't know what the chief gets paid down there, Chief Carter. I don't know what he gets paid.
Well, not enough.
It's a matter of public record, so we can probably find out.
It's not really a doable job, per se, under these circumstances down there.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I think that the Chief Carter seems to have done a very good job.
Are you
job.
Playing solitaire during the break here?
Yes.
Okay.
You were boring me, so I...
Well, I'm sure I was. Okay.
So, here's one that might get your blood boiling.
I know. This is a good idea. See, nobody's blood's going to boil this. This is an excellent idea. Go
All
ahead.
Right. Far-left Congresswoman Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, a Democrat, has released a plan that would pay lower- and middle-income Americans thousands of dollars every month in exchange for doing absolutely nothing. The Washington Post reports that Tlaib's bill would give direct cash help to those at the bottom of the income distribution, annually offering $3,000 to individuals and $6,000 to families in an attempt to reduce poverty in the United States and bolster the wages of the poor. Now, how that's going to bolster the wages of the poor when they're poor, aren't working, and they get money, that's not wages. In an interview with a Fox affiliate in Detroit, Tlaib called her plan earned income tax credits on steroids. This is basically a broader umbrella for families that make $50,000 or less if you are single, or $100,000 or less if you are a family, Tlaib said. The proposal offered by Tlaib, a member of the Democratic Socialists of America and political ally of Socialist Congresswoman Olivia Ocasio-Cortez, would cost trillions of dollars, according to the Washington Post report, and serves as yet another reminder that many Democrats have absolutely no clue on how the basic economy works. For starters, giving cash even to those who are unwilling to work would discourage them from finding a job, working more hours.
Let me stop you there. Three times, it's not for people unwilling to work. It's for people who earn, up to $50,000 a year.
No. This is for anybody.
No, she said it's earned income, which you earned income bolsters your income. So you work some, but it's not up to a certain platform or threshold, and so they supplement you with earned income money, but it's not for people who earn nothing. It's for people who earn something, but not enough to get by.
I'm looking here to see if it says that. My understanding was that it gave them, because they are the lowest of the low, right? People don't get any money.
Well, but then they'd be eligible for some other relief and job hunting help and all that sort of thing.
Well, maybe they don't want it. Maybe they just want their free
stuff.
Well,
if you're not going to do anything at all whatsoever, you're not going to get an earned income credit, because credits are to supplement your tax refund when you've earned something.
Well, the story says, for starters, giving cash even to those who are unwilling to work would discourage them from finding a job, working more hours, or applying for a promotion. Why work harder, or even at all, if the government is going to send you a check every month for doing nothing? This one problem alone would severely and negatively impact economic growth. The U.S. Bureau of Labor Statistics reports there are currently more than 7.48 million job openings. How many millions more would be available if people were encouraged by checks from the government to cut back their hours or avoid work altogether? Hmm. That's a negative incentive.
I think that does exist. Actually, that incentive already exists with the earned income credit itself. I know for a fact of one individual who enjoyed an earned income credit and chose not to work full-time so that his income would stay at X level and, you know, whatever it is, and that way they wouldn't go up above a certain threshold, and then they'd lose their earned income credit. So that disincentive already exists, and that's a dilemma. I'm not quite sure how you get around that. Maybe make an earned income credit slowly diminish. You know, it helps you your first year of not having some funds, but then gives you more time. All right, well, we'll take your calls on this. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565. We have a fabulous idea to help individuals lift themselves out of poverty.
Oh, brother.
And give them some free money. Give us your opinion. On the market, at WKOK.com, 70236, 1-800-795-9565.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the Father of all Sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to $16,000. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And what a sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade,
period.
It's the Father of all Sales going on now. So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
Driving you over 100 years, Sunbury Motors.
Mm-hmm.
Welcome back. WKOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the mark. 1-800-795-9565. Cindy, I'm sorry you just missed the break, but thank you for holding. You are on the mark.
No problem. You know, I think we have a very good example of exactly what happens when the government gives people money for not doing any work. It's called Congress. There we have 535 people accomplishing nothing but making noise. They certainly aren't serving the needs of the American
people. Uh-oh, Cindy, something terribly went wrong with your phone.
And I hope she can tell since she's talking.
She may have been on a battery-operated phone and the battery may have died. That's what it sounded like.
Oh, okay. You know what that sounds like. All right. That leaves time for Lance to get through. Good morning, Lance. You're on the mark.
Hey there. Why, you know, that Finland tried that guaranteed basic income as a experiment, and it certainly didn't work at all. I mean, at all. Early results from a pilot program suggest that providing unemployed people with a minimum income doesn't encourage them to find work. And they saw it as a solution to a range of big social problems, including rising income inequality, the expansion of the gig economy, and a potential surge in unemployment as automation advances. Does that sound familiar? Random selection of 2,000 unemployed people were paid a tax-exempt income of $634 a month, regardless of any other sources of income or whether they were looking for work. And it just... apparently, nobody decided to go look for a job because they were getting money. Now, does that make any sense? I mean, it just doesn't.
Well, that's not what this is for. This isn't a free check. If you do absolutely positively nothing, you get a big fat check. No, it's not. It's a supplement for individuals who are under-earning to support themselves.
No. Well, yeah, this was unemployed individuals, yes.
Okay, so that's slightly different than what we're talking about, although it is still government money to help people and provides a disincentive, which we can still argue that that's what this would do anyway. Somebody would argue that the whole earned income credit itself is a disincentive. Yes, it helps individuals that are below the poverty line, but no, it doesn't give them any incentive to raise themselves up. I am proposing that instead of having a full income credit at X amount every single year you're under-earning, make, you know, if you want it to be $1,000 the first year, okay, and then the next year $500, the next year $250, and the next year, so it becomes less and less of an aid.
Well, here's a thought. Why not tag that money to them increasing their skill set?
Oh, so that they'd have to up themselves. Yeah, I think that would be an okay. Yeah, use the rest of the, like the first time, use the $200 or the $500 you save to do schooling or
something. My problem with their plan is it's just money for nothing. What was that song? Money for nothing and chicks for free,
yeah,
right?
Dire Straits.
That's basically what she's doing here. If you want to give these people money, give them an incentive to earn it.
Money for nothing and their checks for free.
Checks for free, right.
All right. Anyway, Lance, go ahead. Last word. Go right ahead.
Well,
that's it. Okay. Hey, let me ask you. Oh, go ahead.
You know, you were talking about an individual that milks that their income tax credit deal to the nth degree.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. Actually, did prevent.
I'm familiar with a couple that really do that.
Right. Yeah. They have opportunities to work full time, overtime, get a full time job, anything. They'll do anything except up their income.
Purposefully don't do that. Last year, they said it was like $3,500, which I believe is like maximum or something.
Okay.
And they, went off to New Jersey for a week and blew it mostly, you know, at the casinos. Had a grand time.
Well, responsible use of your tax refund, that's a whole nother lesson. You know, let's suppose that this good idea goes through. Do you want to give it to individuals in a lump sum? Because trouble is with humans, they don't always use their tax refund as wisely as maybe a sound financial advisor would tell you to do it.
And then there are people who do enjoy losing money like that. I think they have some kind of a self-image problem, they call it, that they go in there and they just figure they deserve to lose it.
Oh, okay. Well, we're a little off. We're off the track here. All right.
You're off the rails there, Lance.
Thank you so much, Lance. Appreciate the call. Cindy is back. Good morning. We didn't get any of your remark in.
After the fact that you talked about having 600 and some people in Washington earning money.
Oh, yeah, that was a
getting money for nothing.
Funny statement.
Well, it's true. Are you kidding? That's absolutely true. They make $174,000 a year, plus a cadre of benefits that would be the envy, as no doubt the envy of the world. And now they have the audacity to be complaining for a raise. AOC is complaining she wants a raise. I mean, how long has she been earning $174,000? I thought the woman started out as a waitress or something like that. Now she makes $174,000, and that's not enough. She wants more for herself. And that's just absurd.
Well, she views it as a cost of living increase.
Everyone has a cost of living. You know, that's the, you know, rearrange your life so you don't cost so much. That's what we do at our house. And that's just ridiculous for her to be expecting that. I have no problem with the earned income tax credit. I don't believe in giving people cash for indiscriminately. But Mark, when you get your income tax refund,
yes,
that's your money. It's not mine. It's your money. You earned that money, and you overpaid your taxes through the year, and the federal government used it for whatever purposes they deemed appropriate. And now, finally, at the end of the year, they're going, oh, sorry, Mark, overcharged you. Here's your money back. That's a whole different issue than, Cindy, give me $1,000. We're going to give it to Mark. That's a whole different song.
Well, I understand what you're
Mark
saying.
Would like you to sing, however.
But this is out of compassion to help families that are well below the poverty line so they can raise up their income and maybe get some schooling or some nice clothes so they can get a different job and then raise themselves
up. But none
up.
Of that is an attachment to this. That's just
no,
give them the money.
No, but that's what people do
when
they get
money.
Well,
yes,
we do that here in Pennsylvania, you realize. The,
absolutely.
The TANF funds are free cash to people. It hasn't worked out so well.
What funds, Cindy?
The TANF funds, the state gives cash to people, and they're supposed to be using this cash to raise themselves up, but it has not worked out so well. There's been an enormous amount of abuse of this program.
What?
We spend hundreds of millions of dollars giving free cash to people.
I guess Mark and I are ignorant, but for looking from
TANF.
Mark's face and mine, we're not
I've
familiar
heard
with
the
this.
Name, but I'm not familiar with
what,
it.
What are the specifics of this
they
program?
They give people cash grants. You apply for this, and they give them cash grants to do... Like, let's say that you claimed that you were going to school, and so you get a cash grant to go buy all the books and pay the fees and everything. Nasty little detail, they weren't enrolled and did not go to school. They just used the money for what they chose. Or, we're going to help you pay for child care while you're going to school. Nasty little detail, they never went to school. So they just got this free money, supposedly receiving child care for their kids. I think that this person proposing this is apparently ignorant of the enormity of the support that we do give people who are struggling financially in this country.
Well, why would she not know that it adds
up to about $60,000 a year. If you're a woman with children, the support you get, state, local, and federal, adds up to about $60,000 a year. And this has created a conundrum because then, for them to choose to get a job, they need to somehow get a job at that rate, or they're going to decline in their standard of living to take a job, which is, of course, a great incentive not to do it. And they had a woman from Philadelphia who testified she does this. How she works part-time because if she crosses that line, she'll lose all these benefits. I watched her. It was amazing. She was very candid about that. She plays a careful game of income versus federal and state benefits.
Yeah, I've seen that happen. The issue is real.
Well, they know how to work the system.
Well, who doesn't attempt to make it the system best for them? Who doesn't use our world in a way that they believe is optimal for themselves? However, when it comes to perverting that behavior, that's where I see the problem.
All right, we got you.
Thank you.
Yeah,
nice.
Thank you so much. 1-800-795-9565. Cindy indicated, I tried to interrupt her, wasn't able to, but that it is possible this congresswoman is unfamiliar with what actually happens at the poverty level. Well, the congresswoman is enjoying $174,000 a year plus significant benefits, so it would be no surprise to me that she would be unfamiliar with the actual reality of poverty.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a nice idea, and let's face it, what's always very popular? Giving people something for nothing. hey, we're going to give you a new Cadillac, or we're going to give you a new Ford. We're going to give you a free cell phone service. We're going to give you this, give you that.
Got a good email. Go right ahead.
Right. Since when is $50,000 for a single person and $100,000 for a family poverty? Give me a break. These domestic or Democratic women have no idea what goes on in this country. Unbelievable.
All right, 1-800-795-9565. Joe found an important news story about a proposal in Washington, D.C. that would provide up to $3,000?
No, up to $6,000 for families, $3,000 for individuals.
Right, if they're earning less than $50,000 individually or $100,000. So I guess for an individual living in an urban area, the money doesn't go as far in the city, so, you know, maybe the $50,000 for an individual
$100,000 goes fairly far no matter where you're living.
But if you're earning less than $50,000 in the city, you'd be eligible for HUD and some other, you know, assistance already, especially if you're working poor. There seems to be more things for individuals that are working. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We would love to hear from you. Bobby, you're on the mark.
Yes, good morning, everyone. I'm going to compare notes to go back in time. My mother's cousin's mother decided to take off and leave five children. And in those days, the families took them in. There was no benefits. I'm talking like the 1930s, though. There was nothing for anyone. And, of course, over the time period, of course, the people did help each other out, whether they went on the farm or whenever the kids got taken by other families in that. But it was a completely different world back then. And I guess when Social Security, when all this stuff came up to help the people out of work or you know, parents taking off or anything like that, I mean, why was the system, you know, you have to look back on how did this all get started to help the people.
So neighbors and family members should pony up the $3,000 instead of the government.
No, I mean, no. As far as the concept of helping people that need help, that not just financially. I mean, people had to find places to live and everything, because when you had a family of five girls, all of a sudden there was a baby involved, and basically the families stepped in and helped each other out, or the families or different organizations, even down at the poorhouse. Which is south of Sunbury. That was set up for people during the Depression to basically take them off the streets, but they also had a farm down there, and they also grew food and provided. And this was, you know, before Social Security or before anything was ever set up.
Right. They were expected to help out with their own care. But today we don't believe that. We believe we should just give it to you because you're entitled.
Right. That's the whole fallacy of the system.
I agree.
It's not working.
All right, thanks.
Yeah, thank you very much, Bobby. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. We'd love to hear from you. We're going to take a quickie break. When we come back, we'll continue to explore this particular topic. We have a sound idea out of Washington, D.C. to help individuals who are below the poverty line.
Here's a thought before we head into the break. As any undergraduate student in a freshman-level economics class could tell you, flooding the market with cash would quickly cause prices of all sorts of consumer goods and services to increase, negating the alleged benefits offered by the plan for those who qualify for the tax credit.
Oh, brother.
Oh, brother yourself.
We flooded the market with pension checks, so the price of canes
You know,
is
you've
going
never
up.
Seen that happen, you know, in a flood where people can't get a certain commodity, and all of a sudden the people who have it are charging a lot more for it.
Well, I think scarcity might impact prices, but not abundance of revenue.
I hate to tell you that, brother, but you are sadly mistaken.
Well, I think you're sorely mistaken. 1-800-795-9565. We have sound policy out of Washington, D.C. from a U.S. Congresswoman who's on the right track, helping to raise up families that are the working poor to help level the playing field a little bit. 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. You can email us at onthemark@wkok.com. Welcome back to the KOK Live Telephone Talk Show on the Mark, 9:38 in the morning. We're on the home sweep here to wrap up Wednesday morning. Mr. Rob Center is fabulouser by the day. He's going to peak on Friday. We know that to be true because that's his last day of the work week here. He is here Friday, right? Yes, okay. Yep, absolutely. He does have a very much deserved day off coming up near the end of the month.
So do I.
Right, you're Fridays, I'm aware. And but you don't have any other days off this week, correct?
No, just yesterday.
Okay. So anyway, yeah, Rob is super fabulous. There's just no argument there. So we appreciate that. Mr. Joe McGranahan is the smartest guy in the room everywhere he goes, including at the Burroughs Association. You weren't the smartest guy in the room down there?
No, there are a lot of smarter people.
Really? Who? Name one.
Governor Wolf, for example. I think he's a very smart man.
Okay.
I don't agree with him all the time, but he's
personally,
a very bright guy.
You finally met him. How was he?
Well, I met him before. Matter of fact, I had my picture taken with him about a year and the first year he was governor at the state mayor's conference.
Mm-hmm.
Nice guy.
Okay.
All right. Well, here's a story that, you know, I'd be interested in hearing your take. You know, we've talked before about whether or not there can be groups of men and groups of women that don't have to let the other group in, or, you know, whether you could have a group of black people who want to band together to do something, a group of Catholics who want to band together to do something and not let others in. Well, an annual retreat in California put on by an elite club whose ranks include former Presidents Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon and powerful business leaders is facing scrutiny for excluding women after female county supervisors questioned whether they should continue allowing sheriff's deputies to provide security for this event.
Aha.
Where the previously routine issue came up in a meeting last week, Sonoma County Supervisor Shirley Zane scribbled a note, then read it out loud. It said, How can we contract tax-funded services with a club that openly discriminates against women? After 11 years on the board and in the third year of its female majority, Zane was finally inspired to speak up, though she said she has long questioned the exclusivity of the Bohemian Grove campouts that have been held at the private Sonoma Club site for nearly all of the club's 147-year
history. So the
history.
Collision here isn't the men's group itself. It's the fact that they use public-funded sheriffs.
Well, they pay for it. They pay them, reimburse
them. They pay the sheriffs.
Right.
But still, the sheriffs are out of commission at that time, so it's...
Well, the sheriff apparently views it as a moneymaker for his department, and I guess they have enough deputies that they can send there, but I'll get to that point.
Okay.
Women's rights are being shredded throughout the country, and we are being kept out of decision-making, Zane said. This is another way it's happening in our own backyard. The event that runs July 10th to 28th, so it's an 18-day event, is for members of the Bohemian Club, headquartered in San Francisco. It maintains a confidential membership list and has long had a reputation for secrecy. Founded by journalists and artists in 1872, the club grew to include presidents as well as various FBI and CIA directors and titans of business. Women can enter the club's headquarters, but they are barred from the annual July encampment where men reportedly relax, perform skits, and take part in a ceremony called Cremation of Care, where they burn an effigy. You get up in the redwoods, you talk, and you drink, and you tell dirty stories, club and former California Governor Edmund G. Brown told the Associated Press in 1987. The Sonoma County Board of Supervisors has approved the security contract for the retreat without fanfare for the past 14 years until Zane spoke up. So what do you think?
Well, you're protecting some public figures under certain circumstances when Nixon is there and other...
Well, Nixon's dead.
Well, but he was there in years past.
When so
probably,
was Ronald
he was
Reagan.
Probably alive at the time.
And so was Ronald Reagan.
Okay. So,
but this is apparently an exclusive all-boys club.
And so she's arguing that no public entity should be involved in assisting them.
Well, I think what she's saying is should they be even allowing the sheriff's deputies, who are, whether you like it or not, funded by taxpayers' dollars.
So discriminatory.
Right, to go there when women aren't allowed to participate.
Yeah, she's right.
Is there something inherently wrong with a group of idiotic men going out into the woods for 18 days.
Doing skits,
singing, telling dirty jokes, and drinking. I mean, how is that? Well, first of all, why would any woman want to take part in it? I'm loath to see why any man would want to take part in it.
Right. I spend my life avoiding places where they sing or do skits.
And then burning an effigy. Boy, this sounds like a real knee slapper of an 18 days. I mean, I'd be bored after 18 minutes.
But the burial of, the cremation of care, right?
I don't know what that means.
So probably your cares in life, things that bug you. I would hope that that's what they're talking about.
Oh, all right. I didn't think about that.
You
but
know,
you're
that
right. That makes sense.
Right. That would be symbolic and helpful. Do they do any peyote mushrooms?
I don't think that's on the agenda.
I bet they do. It looks like a mushroom function.
I think this group was a target of a movie. I can remember, and I don't remember the name of the movie. My son, if he were here, would remember it. But there was a scene in a movie where they were out in this, maybe in this campgrove or this grove, mm-hmm. and doing business. Maybe I'm thinking of the
Bohemian
Sopranos.
Grove.
Maybe it was in a Sopranos episode of a few years back.
Oh, where they went to a retreat. I vaguely remember that.
Right, that they were there and they were wearing robes and smoking cigars and telling dirty stories and doing business. And but, I mean, if a group of men wants to get together to do this,
but
apparently they feel the need for security, which is why they have signed.
Well, that makes sense. If you
and,
got a
and
lot
not
of
just a few. I think there are 10 guards, and the contract is $151,000
a year, okay,
for this security, and includes having the sheriff's staff at the entrance with 2 to 6 deputies to deal with protesters, and there are protesters who show up for this.
Oh, really?
And trespassers, and respond if needed to emergencies.
What's the protest?
Well, it says protesters have gathered outside Bohemian Grove for years to rail against what they see as world-controlling elites and conspiracy theories. Less focus has been paid to the gender exclusivity of the event.
Okay.
So they don't like the fact that these titans of industry, these guys who control the world, are getting together to sing and skits and drink. Right.
Burn effigies. And cremate their cares. Cindy, you're on the mark.
Well, first, Joe, I got a question how you think that Governor Wolf is so terrific when they reported in the paper that he overspent the budget that he was given for last year, not by $75 or $750, but $750 million. He's overspent the budget this year already, and that's absurd. But anyway, no, I don't think we should be contracting public employees to do this job. I don't think anybody should be doing it. I've always been troubled about that.
About this particular group?
No, about the idea. I know that other people do this, that the government contracts people to go work to provide security at things. They've done this in Pittsburgh, I've read about it, where the city contracts out policemen in their off hours to go and do these kinds of things. And I don't think that's correct. But if they're going to do that, they should do it on their own time. The government should not be involved in subcontracting out employees to work for other entities.
Well, I mean, around here, there are local security firms. Soaring Eagle comes to mind. They provide security for all sorts of events and things like that.
Superlative group locally.
Outstanding group, yep. And they provide that, and you pay them a fee. But I don't think they have arrest power. So if somebody got out of hand, I think they'd have to hold on to them until the police were called. But I think the sheriff's deputies would have arresting powers if someone got out of hand or caused a problem. Maybe that's the difference why they choose to go that route rather than private security.
And I would imagine that the hours worked also plus up their pension and other benefit things, which, of course, come back on the taxpayers in the communities that are funding these kinds of things. And that's just not right. If those people want to work extra, I respect that, and they should contract privately to do it. The local entity, the government, municipality, federal, state, should not be renting out their people. This would be like us renting the army to Britain. I mean, come on.
The Hessians made quite a living out of that back in the
1700s. I understand that, Joe, but that was hundreds and hundreds of years ago.
Well, I live in the past, Cindy, so.
All right, no argument there.
So I've heard, Joe, so I've heard.
Thank you,
anyway,
Cindy.
Anyway, no, they shouldn't do it. Thank you.
Right, but what about the sexual aspect of it? Should women be permitted to join this group if they
pickle.
Want to?
Well, that's a pickle. Yeah, I think that would have to be worked out. If you're going to use any public entity, you can't be a discriminatory agency. What if they said no blacks? Would that be different if we carved out a different group? That no blacks are allowed to join this group.
Okay, but what if a group of black people wanted to get together for a lodge ceremony and spend 18 days in the woods singing and drinking and telling dirty jokes?
Well, then they should not.
And I, as a white guy, wanted to join in for whatever reason,
well, then
and they said, no, I'm sorry, you know, this is for us.
Well, that's truly discriminatory, and they definitely shouldn't summon public dollars in any form or capacity. You know, we may not pay the hourly rate for the sheriff's deputies, but we're still paying for their training and their upkeep and the fact that they're on staff and their health care, and we still pay for that. What if they get hurt while there? We still suffer the overtime that'll go to fill their slot when they're injured and recovering out there.
But don't you suppose that the cost, which seems really high, $181,000?
For how many?
for 6 to 10 or two guards at the gate. And $151,000. It includes having the sheriff's staff at the entrance with 2 to 6 deputies to deal with protesters or trespassers and respond if needed to emergencies. So $151,000. And gosh, working 8-hour shifts, I mean, I assume it's around the clock.
Right.
So, I don't know, does that seem like a deal? It's, what, 18 days?
It's not. They're not getting enough. The taxpayers are definitely subsidizing this.
Well, I mean, suppose they went another route. Suppose they went with private security and there was some, you know,
it would cost
outburst
more,
there.
I guarantee you that.
Well, I think the liability might be different, too.
The liability gets absorbed by the municipality, I would think. It's their officers doing technically they're serving as a branch of the municipality at that time.
But there's two issues here. One is whether or not the county or the township should rent out their people at whatever fee.
Uh-huh.
And the other is whether or not they should be supporting any group that bars women.
Yeah, I think those are two strikes. All right, whatever happened to citizens' arrests, as one of our listeners. Well, that wouldn't apply here because
we don't need guys in bathrobes singing, drinking and telling dirty jokes.
Making citizens arrests.
Making citizens arrests.
Not in the middle of their skit, anyway. Plus, they got the effigy to take care of.
Well, first of all, given what they do there, I can't imagine any woman would want to run the risk of attending.
Yeah, who was it? Was it W.C. Field? Or no, who said they...
Groucho Marx. I wouldn't belong to a group that would have me for a member.
That's my kind of group. All right, 1-800-795-9565 is our telephone number. Please, give us a buzz right now. We would just love to hear from you. 1-800-795-9565.
Father's Day normally means a new tie, a pair of socks. If Dad is really lucky, maybe some new golf balls.
Well, Sunbury Motors is honoring Dads with the Father of All Sales. SMC has 125 new trucks with savings up to $16,000. The Ford F-150 has been the number one selling vehicle for 42 consecutive years.
And one is sold every 29 seconds.
SMC has 2019 F-150s from $25,904. Plus, there's 0% financing for up to 72 months on 2019 F-150s. There's 16 of the all-new 2019 Ford Ranger 4x4s in both extended and crew cabs, starting as low as $34,870. And Sunbury Motors needs your old truck, so they'll give you the most money for your truck trade, period. It's the father of all sales going on now. So hurry into Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza, Sunbury.
All right, great that we run a promo for ourselves in the middle of the program.
I think we sound great, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, it's a good program. Right. Sorry we couldn't do that again today.
Where's Dan when you need him? Rifles are bad. They should be banned. There, that'll get them started.
Right. Well, we have another email that says from Bob. It says, good morning. The fact that a school superintendent can earn from $125,000 to $211,867 is more than Congress makes. That should have people up in arms, but know nothing about this. We are all paying for all of this and should keep that in mind. I got a raise this year, but every new employee makes the same pay I do. Signed, Bob.
Superintendent's pay. It is super high, but it's hard to get these men and women to do this job. It's hard to get them to stay. There's certainly like a certain skill set they have to be able to try to raise up academics and deal with teachers and contracts and
right.
everything else. You know, it's like the CEOs of companies. They make millions of dollars these days.
Whatever happened, though, I know we were talking about the PIAAs in the news again today, but whatever happened to that investigation into their District 4 spending, did that ever go anywhere?
The PIAA?
Yeah. District 4 apparently spends money on alcohol. Some of the charges.
I haven't heard anything.
But they wouldn't make their financial records available. And now what are they proposing? They're talking about having sets of different...
Playoffs. Yeah, this was AP story today. Legislation introduced in Harrisburg would create separate state playoffs for private and public schools in Pennsylvania. Media reports say that under House Bill 1600, all schools, public and private, would continue to compete against each other in regular season and district-level playoffs. After the district playoffs, private schools would compete in one playoff and public schools in another. So, in other words, you play during the year with the public and private. Then afterward, for the initial part of the playoff season. You'd be separate, but then you have one sort of Super Bowl together.
Well, who are we trying to level the playing field for? The private schools or the public schools?
Well, yeah, because the public schools can only recruit players or enjoin players from their catchment area, you know, like, say, the Shikellamy School District. But the private schools, they can recruit globally if they want to. They can get anybody from anywhere in the whole world to play on their team. And
well, doesn't that drive up the cost of education in those institutions?
Well, it does, but the private individuals pay for it, or legacy funds. Like, if you're talking about the Catholic ones, you get some legacy funds involved. And
well, I'm sorry, if they're going to take part in the playoffs, they should go be under the same rules as the, you know, everybody else.
Well, and in this particular case, you end up with like a superlative team gets to the state, like a Central Columbia gets to the state playoff, but then Central Catholic, which is literally recruited globally. Now, they're not supposed to recruit for sports. So what they do is they find the biggest, smartest Catholic football player in the world and encourage him to enjoy the academics at their place.
Well, he doesn't even have to be Catholic. They'll take anybody.
All right. So, and then you know, they also say,
but that hasn't hurt Southern Columbia.
No, there are, well, within private schools, there will always be teams that rise to the top because of recruiting and coaching and system, you know, systems within the school that raise up kids. So I think this is a good idea. This is a sound policy, and this will be a step in the right direction. That's what I think. Because you'd still be the best public school in the state,
well,
until you got to the Super Bowl.
Let me ask you a stupid question then.
The Catholics would run over you.
Okay, we Catholics love to run over people. What's the difference if you take part in the process leading up to the final game and everybody's intermixed? You're saying that, well, at least this way there'd be one public school in,
right,
with... But what's the difference? If the best schools are the Catholic schools, or the best schools are the public schools, or the best schools are the Christian schools, what does it matter?
If they ever get to play each other.
Well, I mean, if I had an asterisk behind my name, like public school number one, we lost to a Catholic school or a Christian school, what difference does that make? You know, if we won and we got to that final game because we got some special advantage no one else got, I still wouldn't feel very good about it.
Right.
I mean, it's about talent.
Well, but for the individuals that are playing with the Catholic teams, they're just teaching their kids, and they happen to have a football team. They happen to be better because they have at least a statewide catchment area. Now, they are not supposed to recruit, so they find other ways to do it, and that's, you know, they say, oh, okay, we'll come here and we'll provide, you know, superior academics for you at a lower cost.
And you won't have to pay the tuition, or can they do that?
I would think so. They could recruit individuals and say that they, you know, they wanted to. If the individual has to express an interest in joining them, I think they have ways to help them join. We can talk about this later. I'm sure Kevin Herr, who's an expert on the PIAA buffoonery, and Matt Catrillo, who's a close second, could help us sift through this. There must be, in addition to superintendents and the Pennsylvania Catholic Conference, which used to be opposed to this, but now they're in favor of it.
Well, during my time as the president or the joint board chairman of the State Association of Broadcasters, I had occasion to deal with the PIAA, and they were never easy to deal with.
Right.
Although
they're
toward
an immovable
the end,
object, no matter what.
Toward the end, they became a little more reasonable, but we had a lot of issues with them with respect to championship games and fees and rules and regulations
just
very arbitrary in many instances.
Yeah, the fees are crazy. We got to pay a big fee to broadcast Friday's game.
Wait, what game is that?
The
Sealands Grove baseball game?
Sealands
Grove, you're going to carry the Sealands Grove baseball game? Okay, well, there's Matt outside if he has a comment.
On Eagle 107 and on the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app. You don't have time. Don't sit down.
What's your comment? Just lean in.
He doesn't like this idea. I already know that. He's already
not
been,
a good idea. All
he's
right,
already
well,
been
Matt's
yelling.
Been heard from.
He and Kevin are already yelling in their cars and on the newsrooms and everywhere.
Well, I agree. I don't think it's a dandy idea either.
I think it's a superlative idea. We should consider it tomorrow.
Well, we'll see.
We'll have to find somebody who favors it to argue other than me. I'm not really much help to too many causes.
No, come to think of it, you aren't. But you do try.
Thank you.
You are very trying.
Joe's perfect at everything he does. That's the sad part about all of this. You are listening to On the Mark on WKOK Sunbury.